Lime, duh.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H. Yeah, you let the music keep playing, Mr. Thunder. Yo, tell me whose time it is now.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another, I guess, I don't even know what you call these, an emergency episode of the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, called on via Cow Champion's privilege by the current heavyweight Cow Champion, Jason Shapiro.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're invoking the 25th Amendment of Cow. This is where... As the champion, you have the right to get on the pod whenever, again, it's in times of emergency. When an episode needs to go down or if the champion has something very important to talk about, that's the 25th Amendment of Cow. I could get right in there. Right. And that's actually something that rightfully so, embrace, right? I mean, that's you want this pod to be as good as possible.
Well, I mean,
and part of that is having the champion on whenever he deems fit.
Yeah, I'll say this. Listen, bro. I texted you. I know. See, the thing is this. I have the clip you've demanded to be played on the pod today.
I mean, I think, honestly, as the first kickoff of the episode, just to give people a taste of just how funny and great and amazing. Because you and me are best friends. So when we get together, we make great
content. We were best friends. We used to be best friends.
We are and forever will be best friends, hetero life mates. And we just speak the same language. We're on the same wavelength. That's what a best bud's all about. 30 years deep. And the first
thing you can't say, if I'm saying we're not best friends, that's a mutual thing. You can't go, oh, we're best friends. It's not that's not a one-sided thing.
Here's what I hear. When you say, hey, we're not best friends anymore, I hear an angry, hurt guy, but I don't not feel the love. In fact, what I kind of hear it as is, I wish I could quit you. You're giving me the Jack twist. You can't get rid of me, bro. I'm in you.
I wish I had that song, to be honest. The Brokeback Mountain. You're talking about Brokeback Mountain.
I'm talking Brokeback. Let's go.
Brokeback Mountain. Oh, yeah. Okay. So
as one thing, we want to kick off the episode. We need the sound drop from Dirty Work. Let's hear it.
Well, I have the full scene.
Love it.
We talked about this so much on the podcast that we have to play. This is one of Farley's greatest performances. And it has the line, which will become its own separate drop on this show.
And it's one of his last performances, too.
Things are going to get better. You just hang in there, Mitch.
Thanks for listening, Jim.
Say, listen, pal. You ever need anything? I mean, anything at all. You come to me.
Can I stay at your place today?
Well, see, the thing is this. I live over at the Y, as you know. I got a roommate, old Jack, who is a little particular when it comes to strangers.
Oh, yeah. Well, no problem. Thanks.
He just got his knee drained last week.
That's all right. I'll find another place.
Well, he needed it, too. That thing was getting a little bit bright.
I get the picture. Maybe I'll just sleep in my car.
Old Jack's an odd duck, I tell you. Many times I catch him staring at me sleeping, which is off-putting.
Yeah, I guess it would be, yeah.
His feet bleed.
I don't want to stay at your place!
Point taken. Point taken, Mitch. Some other time, maybe, we could,
No!
Go camping.
What?
You know, just you and me.
Okay, let's go.
Mitch and Lonely.
That's them breaking because he was ad-libbing at the end there, and it was cool. Mitch, you know, he came on to him, and you heard Farley just do a genuine, nodding character laugh. What an amazing talent. But anyway, this is the Comedians Wrestling Podcast. We're calling an emergency episode. Shebs, you, yeah. So let's just talk about the cow title for a second, okay? Just if you guys don't know what we're talking about here, okay? Shebs is the Comedians Wrestling Champion. He's my best friend since we're 5 years old. You know this. He came and attacked me while I had COVID-19 at my house. We were supposed to just see each other social distance, very far apart. He came, cashed in cow money in the bank briefcase, which he stole from the supermarket. Nick Tulos, the host of the Comedians Wrestling Patreon, he goes to the Patreon bonus episodes with me. You knocked him out, guy we went to high school with since we're kids. You stole it from him, beat him up, started taking pictures with his dog, stuff like that. I mean, a lot of odd behavior on your part. Then you flew to Hawaii, and you claim that there's an open challenge for the title. If anyone wants to challenge you, except for the fact that you have to come to Hawaii, which is the strictest state in the union to get into because of COVID.
We have the least per capita COVID infections in the entire
United. Are you saying we now? Now you're like a native?
Mahalo, bro. Absolutely. Oh, okay. I live here. This is where my residence is. I'm on a lease.
Yeah, so anyway, and so you've said there's no challenge, but you also, and then when you get there, you also have to register the match with the Hawaii Athletic Commissioner, who's also a personal friend of yours as well, you said?
Yeah, I mean, you know me, Dan. I'm a social guy, right? So I hit the ground running here. As soon as I go any place, you know, I'm making friends quick. And I like my friends at the top of the pops. You know, I like high-powered individuals.
Right.
Game respects game. But look, when you lay it out like that and you explain everything I did to get where I am, from driving to Tulo's house in the middle of a blizzard to flying in the middle of a pandemic to the hotbed of coronavirus, L.A., you say it and you're trying to make it sound like I'm some sort of bad guy. What I hear is like, whoa, this was a brilliant, complicated plan hatched and executed to perfection by a mastermind, resulting in, quite honestly, one of the most well-deserved, earned title runs in all of professional wrestling, not certainly in the cow title. I'm only the fourth champ, and I'm going to be the last champ. But, I mean, I hear a brilliant scheme. I hear a heist of the century. I hear the Waikiki sneaky. And I'm proud of myself, and I'm restoring this title of greatness. I'm helping your podcast out by finally giving these people some bookings they could get behind. I'm restoring the title to greatness. And, yeah. There's on top of all that, as if that wasn't enough, I'm a fighting champion. I got an open challenge. I want the first defense to be against you. I want you out here, man. Come on out.
Yeah, you also said that if we were to fight, it would be at Eva Beach. You've already shown that you have a crew of protectors called the Eva Beach Bad Boys.
Look, they're not a crew of protectors. I told you, when I go to a new place,
yeah,
I make friends quick. Like, people, they just get behind the champ. I have one of those magnetic personalities. You know, ever since high school, what do we call them? We call them Shebbies. Or I get fanatics, right? I just get, right? Am I making this up? Or there's something called a Shebby, and that's a follower, a disciple, someone who's just a huge fan of mine, right? That happens everywhere we go.
Yeah.
Sure. Correct. Yeah. So, look, they're not protectors. They're just a group of friends, fast friends. I made close friends, fast friends. Sal Eliazo, longtime listener of the pod, friend of the pod, yeah. Great guy. Good buddy of mine. I came out here. He was hanging out in Eva Beach with his friends, basically. A bunch of cool, cool guys. And I hung out one night. You know, we just drank. We listened to music. We chilled. We were on the beach. We were vibing. It was just a great time, great barbecue. And I happened to let them know, look, by the way, guys, I'm the champ. I got the belt. And they're like, yo, you're the fucking man. Of course you should be the champ. And let me tell you something. We're going to make sure you stay the champ. And I said, look, guys, not necessary. You know, I can handle myself. Like, no, look, as long as you're here, you're Ohana. As long as you're here in Eva Beach, as long as you're here in Oahu, honestly, this network goes deep. As long as you're here in Hawaii,
yeah,
any
it
island,
sounds like you're assembling like almost a militia. But I also want to say, you're texting me. You keep texting me like we're still bros, and then I'm ignoring you, and then you keep saying stuff like, you know, you're ignoring me, which is, it's such a terrible thing what's happening here. And that you're kind of like blaming on me, like the fact that you know you're kind of coming at me, being like, "This is why wouldn't we be friends? Like, what is this? This is a really like it's an awful thing. It's a terrible thing."
I just think
you're looking at the people saying stuff about you, and you're saying they're like, I don't know, it's weird. It's like you're saying
you're being immature. All right, look, at this point, Dan, you and me have had many fights, in especially like the last 15 years when we lived together. We were roommates in New York. You know, we'd get at each other because you're filthy and I'm clean, and you'd leave shit everywhere and I'd get on you to clean it up. And we'd get at each other's throats. We'd get into fights. That never changed.
Yeah, you're so
that
clean,
we're best
bro.
Friends.
You have a huge patch of hair over your in your lower back, like where people have a tramp stamp. That's not even a possible thing to keep clean. You can't reach it.
Excuse me. Now we're resorting to personal attacks. I can reach it. I got a detachable shower head. It's called my devil's tail. Okay, it's a tramp stamp of hair, and I'm never gonna get rid of it. I love it. I think
you
it
refuse to shave
hell.
It, and now you're a single man in Hawaii, and you won't shave the devil's tail.
I'm gonna get more pussy here with my devil's tail and back hair than you're gonna get in your whole life, pal. Okay, don't worry about me having back hair. It's chill. I'm the goddamn champion, for crying out loud.
Okay. Anyway, can we?
The point. Hold on. The point that you started to make is, and that I want to finish, is that we are best friends.
Would you say that it stops right there? Picks up right here.
We have gotten into fights before.
Yeah.
And every time you say this, and I say it too, it's like, yo, fuck that guy. I don't even like this guy anymore. But it's like, we're brothers at this point. Like, there's nothing I can do about this. This is my best friend. This is my brother. It's like family. There's literally, I'm stuck with this guy. That's just how I feel about you, and that's how you feel about me when things are bad. But we always know that we're in too deep. This is it. It's you and me, pal. And when things are good, it's a fucking amazing. And let me tell you something. I know you're upset. I understand why you'd be mad right now. But in your heart of hearts, you know that I'm actually doing this for the good of the pod. I'm making the show better. Now that I'm the champion, I can come on whenever I want. I'm coming on all the goddamn time. And the ratings have been up. You can't deny that. I'm a content king. I'm the street whisperer. I'm the kink master. And I know how to cut a fucking promo, baby. And I'm helping the show. I'm helping your belt. I'm helping your show.
Okay. Can we listen? Okay. Listen.
It's because I love you, honestly.
Here's what I want to say. All right, relax. I've said this to you. I texted you.
Where's the decorum? I just cracked open a Bev, and no one even asked me what flavor. What kind of show are we running here?
I'm not interested. So the thing with you here is that
it's a GT's kombucha watermelon wonder flavor.
What I want to say to you, okay, and before we get into why you called this, because this is a pro wrestling podcast, and the one thing I said to you is like, listen, I'll respect your champion's privilege. Because the cow title means so much to me, and the privilege and the stakes of that title, the honor of being the cow champion, whether you earn it dishonorably, in my opinion, is kind of irrelevant to keeping the sanctum of what it is. You know, I mean, part of my beef with the WWE title right now is that it just kind of feels like a prop. You don't know what you gain from it. You're like, what? I don't really see how Drew McIntyre's life has changed. I don't know what car he's driving. I don't know if he could walk into Vince's office easy. Like, I don't know any of that. They don't show that on the show. All I know is he just gets, like, you know, some more TV time. Is he making more money? I don't know. But with the cow title, you get really ultimate privilege here. And that's important. It's important to understand, like, when someone is the champ. Now, but what I want to say is that, like, you're texting me shit that's like, yo, I said this to you, that, like, we are like we're still in the same exact spot, and you refuse to realize that, like, I'm fucking livid with you, man. And it almost feels like you forced me to do the pod here because you know I have to talk to you, and you know I have to put my best foot forward, because putting on the best content for the Cow Universe and the Cow Podcast is like my number one priority. So you know that I'm going to come in here and, just like Brett, just like Sean, like, I'm going to keep it fucking pro. And it's kind of sickening how that doesn't bother you. That, like, this is essentially, I'm just putting up my game face. You don't care.
Dan, I've known you for a long time. All right. This will blow over. We're bigger than this.
All right.
Friendship is bigger than this moment. And I think, again, I don't want to, like, keep sounding like a broken record here, because you kind of do. But I'll tell you, this is good for the show. This is good for the title.
And how is this? So what
honestly,
is this? You're
this
giving
might be good for our friendship.
Yeah, but what you're doing right now, like, in terms of, like, hey, we're talking podcasting 101. You're giving people content on a rant randomly so they don't know when to get it. There's no name for what you're doing here. Like,
that's not true, okay? I know exactly what I'm doing. I just call it. By the way, okay, this is why you have me on the show. Okay, because when I come in hot. I bring the fucking thunder. I bring the heat. Right now, I can tell you. Here's the name of the show. I'm gonna do these whenever I want because I'm the champion. I'm gonna come on the show. I'm gonna pop in episodes you're doing. Maybe I'll host my own episodes. I don't know. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I'm the goddamn champion. We're gonna call this segment in honor of, honestly, the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest. Certainly one of my favorite finishers, if not my favorite finisher, the Outsider's Edge. Okay. When champion Jason Shapiro is on the show, we're doing a segment,
well, that's
the Outsider's Edge. Because I'm an outsider, I'm a Washington outsider, but I'm a straight shooter. I'm not part of the initial pot. You know, I'm not part of your world. I'm coming from the outside, baby. This is where the big boys play. Well, this is where I am. And I got edge. I got hot takes. Some people love me. A few people
don't. You think
you
know me?
None of them know me. Let's be honest. So this right here is the outsider's edge.
So you're alive, okay. YPP. So the cow champion, Jason Shapiro, your official program here will be the outsider's edge. And you're going to get back to us on when to expect this program. What like more details coming soon?
It's like the Spanish Inquisition in that nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition and nobody expects the outsider's edge.
Right,
it's just going to come when it comes, right. Baby. It's going to come at an ad hoc, as needed.
Okay.
So right now there's a huge story going on, and this is why I call this emergency episode. I didn't call this emergency episode so people could hear you talk about how we're going to be best friends forever, even though you're having a rough patch with yourself right now. That's not what the episode's about.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I said.
Here is the episode that I called the champion, the outsider's edge, coming from the outside in, bringing that edge like only champion Jason Shapiro can. The emergency episode is because we got to talk Adam Pearce. Okay, a while ago.
Wow. This
I fell
is
in love with this guy.
This is actually something you've been teasing for a long time.
I've been teasing it like a nutsack, baby, and I'm ready to pop. Okay.
What does that mean? You tease your nutsack?
You know exactly what I don't, but other people may have. It's certainly happened before. A little tickle. It doesn't
Captain
matter.
Mayhem?
Slapping a tickle. It's not what's up. All right.
Yeah.
Let's not get vulgar. Let's get into it. Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know who this guy is. He kind of came out of nowhere. I was shocked when he started coming out. And I want to talk about my journey with Adam Pearce, and I want to talk about Adam Pearce in general, because right now Adam Pearce is having his greatest moment in WWE history. This is the career pinnacle for his WWE career, in that he might become the champion.
Right.
He might become the Universal Champion. Look, he probably isn't, right? Let's be perfectly honest. But the fact that the guy's got a title shot, that's incredible. So who is Adam Pearce, Dan? Who is he?
I got to tell you this. I know some stuff about Adam Pearce at this point, because it's even WWE is NWA has been pushing some stuff about him, but I know absolutely zero about Adam Pearce. The first time I saw Adam Pearce, I know one of the times that I saw him is this.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the W.
I know that's something that's rewarded in the for Vince. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that was a Vince belly laugh.
This will get you a title shot.
Absolutely.
I just know he wrestled in NWA. That's the only thing I know
all
about
him. So here's what's up.
And so the first time I saw him in WWE was they're like WWE official, right? Like, until this point, it's been like there's GMs. Like, he has the Vegas title. He's like a WWE official, right?
So here's what happened. Mid-2020.
And I remember the first time I saw him, he was getting signatures from Bray Wyatt, Strowman, and Ray.
That is not the first time you saw him.
Yeah, that's the first time I consciously remember, but I know I saw him
before. Here's what happened. Months before, that was on August 28th, 2020. At least 3 months before. All of a sudden, this guy's popping up. He's, you know, when people are injured backstage, he's running out to look at them with the referees. When Sasha and Bayley are fighting with each other, he's coming in to break it up. He's semi-booking match. And they don't say who the guy is. They don't say what his name is. All of a sudden, we got the same, you know, bald-headed, goateed, kind of jack dude in a suit showing up in some sort of managerial capacity that we don't know what. They don't give him a name. We know he's probably a wrestler because he looks like he could be a porn actor. So we're like, this guy probably has been in the squared circle.
Yeah,
for months,
I mean,
I didn't know
he does. He's got the look. What do you
he's
call
got
that?
The look.
What do you call that? What is like that look? You know,
that look is middle-aged porn actor who fucks teenagers. It's like casting couch guy look. He's a bang buck.
Adam Pearce. If you had his gimmick is casting couch. He looks exactly like a casting couch guy.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know if I've ever seen those guys, but that's what they would look like.
It's not – by the way, I'm just equating – casting couch is just – I just mean amateur porn is
point
what
of
I mean.
View, amateur porn.
Yeah,
with an
POV.
PO, like if you're driving and there's a girl walking on the street who's clearly a porn actress, and they like you slow your car down and with the camera out the window, like, hey, where are you going?
Yeah.
What's going on?
And he's like –
you need a lift?
He's like, oh, you turned 18 yesterday?
That's
like
amazing.
That. Like that's
I'll
the guy
what,
says
you,
that.
Did you ever get a lift? You ever hitchhike? You ever get a lift well, do you ever get a lift from a guy with a big cock? And you're like, what? And they're like, I guess I'll get in. That shit. He looks like whatever those guys look like. And that's a real pro wrestler look. That's a pro wrestler look right
now.
There.
And you might think what we're saying right now, this is like, you know, this is a little vulgar. This is a little, and you're like, no, what we're actually doing is making high quality, accurate, authentic observations about wrestling looks.
Look,
what wrestler doesn't look like a porn star?
No, a lot of them don't. It depends what era. You know, like your Shawn Michaels is.
Your Triple H's. You know, like
your Triple H's.
Anyone in
like
DX.
Era of porn.
Yeah.
You know, certainly Soul it's Man Rocky DX Johnson pre-rec. Is a certain era of porn. It's a 70s situation. Right. You know, I mean, honestly, even Darby Allin. There's a lot of Darby Allin porn out there now. Skinny, emo guys just with fucking loaded. Just with absolute units on them. Packing heat, they're in there. So
yeah,
the lines are blurred. But anyway, okay. I digress. The point is, we were seeing some dude acting like he's some sort of WWE official 4 months, and I had no. I'm like, Dan, I said to you, I was like, who is this guy that keeps showing up every week? Like, there's a guy who, like, there is he a GM? Is he not? Like, I don't know what this guy is or who he is. They've never said his name, but he's in the mix. What's his deal? Now, the episode you're talking about is when he went to the next level. That's when. They asked him, whoever asked, I don't even know, was it Vince? I think it was Vince. Vince just orders this dude. He's like, you need to get signatures from Braun, Roman, and Bray Wyatt for a match at Payback.
Right.
And that's when I learned this guy's name. Here's how I learned it. Because when he showed up to get Bray's signature, he got it from the Firefly Funhouse, and he showed up in a post office uniform. And
right.
He was like, hey, everyone, it's Postman Pierce. And I was like, who the fuck is Postman Pierce?
Right.
Okay? So then I took that, and then I Googled Postman Pierce. I got hip to the fact that his name is Adam Pierce.
Right.
And then I did a deep dip, and I found out that WWE was sitting on an absolute legend and making him act like a fucking Briscoe Patterson stooge. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? So let me explain to you guys who in the world – Adam Pierce actually is.
Who in the world is Adam Pierce?
Adam
the
Pierce
wrestler?
Fandango. Yeah. So
Adam.
He's not Fandango.
Wait, what's
he's
he?
Adam Pierce?
Postman Pierce?
Postman Pierce.
Who in the world is Postman Pierce from the tag man? Postman Pierce WWE official. Wow, can have to. None of that worked. None of that worked, and it's all. Can we edit that out?
You can do whatever you want, man. I just call for the episodes. I don't edit them. I'm not in production, bro.
Phil saying we can't edit that out. He saying we can't edit that out.
All right, well, we're keeping it. So if I find out this guy is an NWA champion, okay, which honestly, one of the most prestigious prizes in the game, right? Let's be honest. It just is, right? I mean,
10 pounds of gold.
It's 10 pounds of gold. If you're a wrestling purist, like, you know how important the NWA title is. It's the title that we've been held by Ric Flair, by Dusty Rhodes.
Would you love if NWA waited all the time? Like, they're like, we need to add a little. It's coming under. It must have chipped a little bit. We need to add. it's coming in at 9.9.
You know, if it's less than 10, they have to, like, solder in some new gold.
Yeah, like, we gotta put some more gold on. That's what actually.
And then sometimes in the summer months, like, yeah, look, the gold expanded because of the heat. It's 10.01. We got to chisel some off. Sprinkle it on Dusty Rhodes' tombstone. Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah,
so Adam Pierce became NWA champion for the first time, actually in Puerto Rico, in 2007.
Ooh. Okay?
So he's been a world champ. And I mean, guys in that era, by the way, who were holding that belt were guys like Christian Cage. That was one of Abyss's.
That's
maybe
winning
his only run.
A territory title in an American territory.
Raven, AJ Styles was champion around that time. Jeff Jarrett, you know, that's who's that 2000s era NWA champion. So it's not nobody's out there. Heavy hitters, you know, Raven, Rhino, AJ. It's happening. Christian Cage.
So AJ was the NWA champion?
He was a NWA champion in 2003. Abyss was... The only had one run, and it was right before Adam Pierce. I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff when you think about the legacy.
And Abyss is a trainer now at WWE.
Abyss is one of those guys who's a huge deal without really ever being a WWE guy, but he's probably the most well-known outside of Sting.
Right.
Right? Like, never a WWE guy.
Sting! Yeah.
So Adam Pearce becomes champion. We love it. 2007. Right. Okay? He's champion. 2000. When else did he become champion? 2010, he was champion. Okay?
NWA champion. So NWA, how many?
2011, he became champion.
Right.
Again. Okay? What I'm saying is that this guy, when you add it up, you add up all the reigns, okay? All the Roman reigns, if you
will. Right.
This guy's a four-time NWA champion. Okay?
Right.
And that means, in the same way that Randy Orton becoming a 14-time WWE champion is significant, because the only people who have done that are Ric Flair, John Cena, and Triple H, right? That's how significant it is that Adam Pearce is a four-time champion, because the only people who have had that belt, that prestigious belt, that many times are Ric Flair, 10-time NWA champion, which, let's just appreciate Ric Flair for a minute here, okay? Right. The fact that Ric Flair is the most decorated WWE / WCW champion with 16 recognized reigns, that's completely separate.
Right.
No Venn diagram intersection. Completely separate from the fact that he's also the 10-time NWA champ, the most decorated NWA champion of all time. So that's huge. He's got 10 reigns. The right. King Harley Race, who I always want to put on lists like Rushmore, because he really is the guy before the modern era. Harley Race, 8-time NWA champion.
Right.
Jeff Jarrett, 6-time NWA champion. And then the fourth most decorated NWA champion of all time is Adam Pearce at five reigns. And the guy who rounds it out with four title reigns is Lou Thesz, who is the longest running NWA champion, who's basically like the first or second NWA champion ever, depending on who you ask. He's the guy, I don't know if you guys remember a man named Stone Cold Steve Austin, but the guy had four moves. He had the stunner, he had stomping mud holes where he just kick you in the corner,
right.
He had a dog shit moveset. And he had the Lou Thesz press, where he would throw you against the ropes, jump on you, kind of onto your chest, and then start hammering fists.
Right.
That's the Lou Thesz press. Lou Thesz is no laughing matter, folks. This guy's a huge deal. So we got Adam Pearce, Lou Thesz, Ric Flair, Harley Race, Jeff Jarrett. Those are the most decorated NWA champions of all time. We are dealing with NWA royalty when we talk about Adam Pearce.
Right.
Postman Pearce. This guy is wildly significant. And I got to tell you, he's been a fantastic general manager. He's been the best general manager we've seen in years. And he isn't even really the general manager. He's like when Journey got a fucking – no, not Journey. When, what's it called? Train. You ever see that Train interview on Howard where everyone in the band is in the original band except for the piano player?
Bro, of course I saw that.
Piano player, so they don't make him an official member of Train.
And then Howard just keeps being like, yo, are you going to put this guy in Train or what? Like,
he's been with you guys for 10 years. You guys are all splitting all the royalties. This guy's getting like a salary. Like, God, he's in the band.
Howard always does that. He pokes those fucking wounds. Like, the amount of times Howard has an interview where like he, like, so another time he did that was when Coldplay came in. And yeah. Coldplay was in there. And then they were, he's like, yo, what's the, you have four guys here. What's the breakdown of pay here? By the way, another thing about Howard that's so shitty is he won't talk about his money and what his guys are paid and stuff like that. But like, so they'll push back on it. But he has so much money that everyone's like, why are you busting my balls over money? You're getting paid like $500 million a year. Anyway, but the funny thing is that so when Chris Martin of Coldplay was in there, he was like, yo, what are you paying? And then he's like, well, well, and then he like didn't want to answer, but then eventually he answers. And did you know this? That Chris Martin gets paid. So like there's four of them. They split it five ways. And Chris Martin's a double. Gets a double. He's a 2-5.
That's a good deal for those guys. I was expecting him to get half and the rest of them split the other half. This guy's writing every song. He's the face of the band.
Well, that was his argument. He's like, oh, I write the music. He's like, so like it's almost like I'm two members of the band. I'm the lead singer, and then I'm writing the music.
I agree with him. I agree.
He's like, none of them care. They all seem so grounded. I think they're all like, yo, we hit the lottery, so like, I have millions of dollars and I play a drum.
It's like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
It's not that. I think it's shitty when you're Train and everyone's splitting the money, but one guy who's been in the band for 10 years because he's not the original guy and you have him on a contract, like, right, he doesn't get the same money as you guys. That's fucked up. Fuck Train. Coldplay, you're splitting it five ways. One guy's getting two shares, but that guy's the guy who's literally the whole band. Like,
right.
It's all good.
So So
basically what I'm saying is,
you're saying
the reason I bring it up is,
but Jeff Jarrett being number three is also surprising to me.
It is surprising, but before I get into that, I just want to say the reason I'm bringing this up is because that's how they're treating Adam Pearce. This guy has been the GM. I don't care what you tell me. Certainly since August 28th.
Yeah, he's in the GM. They just call him WWE official, which is just a tweak. It's fine.
No, it's not fine. This guy deserves GM status, okay? This guy is the best GM we've seen in a decade, and they're calling him an official? They're not giving him his share of the money, baby. They're not giving him the respect. You know me. You know what wrestling is all about to me. What is wrestling all about? The one thing that makes wrestling better than everything else for me is this.
Someone you idolize takes you under their wing from day one because they see something special in you.
That's Triple H talking about he's upset with Taker.
What do I love about wrestling?
Respect.
It's all about respect.
So here's
it's
the
all
thing.
About respect. They're not giving him the respect he deserves as an NWA legend and as truly the GM. The fact that they're not calling this guy the GM is fucking bonkers to me.
So do you think, how old is Adam Pearce? Do you know?
Do I think? I'll tell you exactly how old.
I said,
Adam,
do you know
Pearce
how old he is?
Is 42 years old. He's the Quattro.
Okay,
dude.
So he's not even old.
Right. He could be. He could beat Roman Reigns and then have a 10-year career in WWE at the top of the card.
42 in wrestling nowadays is like 42 now in wrestling is like 32, right? Like these guys wrestle, like, you know, some of these, like a lot of top guys are 41 years old. AJ is like 44 years old. I mean, AJ's a freak of nature, so that's like not a
freak of nature.
But look, so you didn't see SmackDown last night, right? So here's the thing. What happened was on SmackDown, like, so Adam Pearce, so he's only 42 years old. He won this gauntlet match to face Roman Reigns at Royal Rumble. Now, can we just put this in perspective for you guys? These are huge men. And the two title matches at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view this year are Roman Reigns versus Adam Pearce and Drew McIntyre versus Goldberg. Like, that's wild. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I would love to see Roman Drew run that one back, have a rematch, and then have Goldberg versus Adam Pearce. That, to me, is a way better pairing.
Goldberg, Adam Pearce? I think that'd be a squash. But, we'll talk about Goldberg first after this, but so basically, I want to know, you're talking about respect. So the way this went down on SmackDown was like Pearce, Roman just was kind of dogging out Pearce, you know, because he's like, yo, you're a thorn in my side, man. Like, I don't like how you run your ship. I'm the head of the table, essentially. Then he put him in this gauntlet match. He's like, and then he went in there, was pretty scared of him. They beat the shit out of Nakamura, and then they basically threw Pearce on top of Nakamura. The point is, he's like very scared of Adam of Roman Reigns, you know.
Right.
Do you have a problem with like them? Would you prefer them to book Adam Pearce in a role that shows the respect of the NWA title? Because Vince does not give a shit about what you're saying.
No. Vince will never look. You have to understand WWE is its own universe, and the worst part about it is how little they respect anything outside of WWE.
Right.
But this is more for the boys in the back. When I'm speaking to the people, it's for the boys in the back. Okay. I'm speaking to you as a true wrestling fan of all platforms, right? Not just WWE. And I can understand WWE's strategy. This is what they're always like. So of course they're gonna be what they're gonna be. Completely in WWE universe, I think it makes sense. Look, the guy's an official, the guy's back office, he's not a wrestler. It makes sense for the booking for him to be like really afraid to have to fight Roman Reigns. I'm fine with that, even though we know he can hold his own, right? So, you know, I'm not like mad that they're making him look weak because at the end of the day, Roman is their champion and Pearce is not even a wrestler. So I get that booking. That doesn't offend me. Would it be so much cooler if they nodded to it and be like, look, Pearce is nobody, man. This guy's a decorated former champion outside of WWE. And honestly, if he could find a way to dig down deep and get back in touch with that part of him, Roman Reigns could have his hands full. That'd be a cool thing for them to do.
Right.
The fact that they're not doing that, I'm not mad. I don't need them to give him that on-screen respect of being a former champion. I need
that feels more like an AEW thing to do.
Absolutely. I need the Cal listeners to give Adam Pierce that respect. I want you guys to know.
Is Adam Pierce one of your guys?
Adam Pierce, absolutely one of my guys. 100%.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the W.
And even he recovered so well.
Well, to be honest, the optics, I think people love it. I actually think that thing holds up. Like, I think people are like, that was fucking mad funny. Like I don't think it affected him negatively at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was his sex tape or whatever, you know?
That was his Titus O'Neil tripping on the way to the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Yeah, except for that is the only thing about Titus's career that anyone will ever remember. Oh, except for that when he got suspended by Vince for shaking his hand. That's true. He shook Vince's hand. Do you remember that? That's Vince fucking crazy.
Nut job.
And then also they'll remember him for being a good dad. They always talk about him. He's a great dad.
As an on-screen performer, I have zero interest in Titus O'Neil whatsoever.
But
it seems like he's a really great dude, though. It seems like he just really has a good head on his shoulders, is a great family man, a charitable guy.
Would you say that he's
doing great things with his fame?
Someone you idolize.
I idolize, to be honest. I think he's an awesome guy, but like, I don't need him on screen, but he needs to remain in WWE so he can continue doing the good work he does worldwide. Titus worldwide, as you know.
That is true. He is worldwide. So
he's worldwide. He is absolutely worldwide. If you think this guy's on a couple continents like Europe, Asia, South America, wrong.
I got news for you.
Seven.
So, Adam Pierce, have you watched any Adam Pierce? He's one of your guys. I want to say that's locked in. Have you seen any Adam Pierce matches?
Look, I don't traffic in bullshit. I don't lie. Honestly, I don't lie. You know that about me. I don't lie.
You and Jody Mitchell.
Because I tell the truth, and people don't even believe me, the shit coming out of my mouth. I think the truth is way better than any lie I could ever tell, okay? Right. I have not seen a single not even a YouTube clip of a finisher.
Do you even know what his gear is?
Yes. I've seen pictures of his gear. He almost wears sort of a Flairian robe at times. He was almost like a Dungeon Master Ric Flair type robe. I tell you what, I don't know why I haven't, especially in preparation for this episode. I should have watched a couple peers at matches, but I didn't. Because I'm not here to watch his matches. I'm just trying to tell you guys that he's the man. Yeah. I can't wait to watch these matches. I'm going to do it.
Well, are you a lineage man?
I'm absolutely a lineage man.
Right. Like,
I love legacies.
So let's talk. Okay, so do you have anything else to say about Adam Pierce? Because I certainly do not.
I have one more thing to say about Adam
Pierce. Okay.
Again, this guy, 2020, for months, I was like, who the F is this dude that is just like, on screen, are we supposed to know who this guy is? Like, they're not saying who this guy is. I don't know what's going on. He seems to be like the GM, though, but no one's really even calling him a name. I have no idea what's going on. Into Postman Pierce, into me finding out he's Adam Pierce, and then like a week or two later, they started calling him Adam Pierce on screen. Yeah. And then I'm like, then he started growing on me. I'm like, this guy rules. He's the best GM I've seen in forever. They don't even call him a GM.
Yeah.
Then he's doing so good, they gave him his own like right hand man. Who they don't say by name. They have Pat Buck. He rolls around with like his own disciple. He rolls around with like a Buddy Murphy situation.
Right.
Pat Buck kind of looks like Buddy Murphy.
I've enjoyed Adam Pierce.
I'm saying I've enjoyed Adam Pierce so much. They're putting new people under him. He's getting a staff behind him. He's got Pat Buck, Cactus Pat.
Yeah.
And it's coming together, man. I honestly, I'm rooting for him. Come Royal Rumble, I hope he takes the strat. I think he's
good. Wait. Okay. I just want to point something out. You made Adam Pierce, one of your guys, without ever seeing him in the ring for even a second. Okay.
But I've seen him on screen. I've seen him be truly the best GM since Paige.
Okay.
And the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre.
What is his finishing move? Do you know? Looking at the wiki?
Let me tell you something. I absolutely
do not. He definitely does an arm bar. Like, he definitely has a killer arm bar.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you one thing about Wikipedia. Wikipedia maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Had for real had a signature. I mean, had a section for every wrestler called signature moves.
Yeah, that's not there anymore.
That has not been there for a couple years. Like, what? I don't know why. I'm telling
they
you.
They were also never right. I've seen them be so wrong.
They usually have like a championships and accomplishments section. And right before that or after that, there used to be a signature move section. And that section is gone. And now if you want to see that, you have to go to like Pro Wrestling Wiki. But I don't know why Wikipedia like downsized their wrestling content. They should be upping that stuff. I need more. I want to know from when to when they did the signature move. When was it a finisher? When did it get demoted to a regular move? I want to know it all. Like, I want a lineage in Wikipedia of, you know, the Judas Effect, Codebreaker, Walls of Jericho. I want the whole, what year to what year was this a finisher?
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So, can we move on from Adam Pearce for that? Because I want to ask you something.
We can move on when the champion says we can move on. And I am comfortable moving on right now. Not because you want to, but because I am done talking about Adam Pearce. Thanks for reminding me.
Okay. Seems like you're a little stupid, but you're actually really stupid.
Okay. Anyway, so
real quick, could you just do me the courtesy?
Yeah.
Ask me.
You just said what the flavor was. I have to ask again.
You didn't ask.
Well, what flavor?
GT's kombucha watermelon wonder.
This is Leon Ruff's theme music, which I adore. To be honest, I just want to take it. I just want it to be my theme music. You know what this song is?
Leon Ruff, the song is called.
You come out to this and you're like, yo, I'm about to go win, baby.
Woo! You know? Yo, you know the name of the song? It's called I Likes It Ruff by Leon Ruff.
Okay, anyway, coming at you, everybody. Woo! Leon Ruff, 101, coming at you. We're having a good day. It's two for Tuesday down at the Chuckle Hut. All right, let's talk. Yo, Goldberg is now the number one contender.
Goldberg is always the number one contender.
Okay, that is perfect. He should switch it up, be like the perpetual number one contender. That'd be a great gimmick. I'm always the number one contender.
Number one, when I walk into any room, I'm now the number one contender.
Yeah.
I show up at a college lecture. Guess what? I'm the adjunct professor. Okay? Walk into Congress. Guess what? I'm the vice president now. The guy is always the number one contender.
I saw a lot of the guys who think they look like Goldberg walking into Congress this week.
I would say there may have been a Goldberg shirt or two because there's probably some pro wrestling fans in there, but none of them are wearing anything supporting.
No, there were Goldberg shirts, but they were a bunch of anti-Semitic shirts.
We don't have to get into it, but for anybody who marched on the Capitol, go fuck yourself. And for anybody who marched on the Capitol wearing blatantly anti-Semitic paraphernalia, I will find you and I will hit you with the title.
Oh, you didn't know?
So here's the thing. You might want to be packing more than the title. The title is made of plastic, which we're very open about.
Oh, I'm getting it. I'm getting it fully redone. I'm going to use the best cola nuts and gold to make a nice Hawaiian piece. Deadly weapon.
Are you just saying that or are you actually doing that?
I'll do that to commemorate my first defense.
All right. Well, so I guess that's never going to happen. But here's the thing, folks.
Bring it, homie.
So, I just want to talk. I want to get your opinion on Goldberg. I find that my take on Goldberg is one of the most polarizing opinions I have, which is who's next? I'm like, yo, bring me Goldberg. I love Goldberg. I'll take as much Goldberg if he wants to keep going and juicing up. I love Goldberg. Now, I understand why someone would be like, oh, it's Goldberg again, like blah, blah, blah. And the way they use Goldberg, I find to be like, I get it. Sometimes it's a little interrupting, interruptive or whatever. Like, it's a little, sometimes it's disruptive is what I mean. Like,
he's a disruptor in the industry. He's like Uber.
So like for when he takes the title off of Fiend because they just need to move it for a Roman match, which they want to book at Mania. Like, that's an example of where he's a legend getting in the way. You know what I mean? But like, right. I feel like Goldberg as a title match for Drew, where he's at right now in his title run, like to actually go up against Goldberg, it's actually a great match because you're like, will they let Drew beat Goldberg? And it's a title shot at the Royal Rumble, where my mind is that's always a holdover title shot. They almost never switch the titles at Royal Rumble, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Even that time, that match that we all love, it was Cena, Rollins, Brock. They kept it on Brock, right? Like,
I mean, that's honestly one of the greatest matches of all time.
Match I adore. It's like 2014
Rumble. It's the year Roman
Rumble.
Won the Rumble, right? Yeah. The year Roman won the Rumble and got booed out of the building. But that match is almost worth it.
Well, Brock is magic in a triple threat. Because they do the same thing every time, where it's like they team up on him, they take him out for like 10 minutes, and then he comes back strong, and it's awesome.
Then Brock's and rolls. Yeah. He Brock's and brawls. But that's the other thing. Also in that match, you have Seth Rollins, one of the greatest in-ring performers of all time.
Right.
And you have big match John Cena, a guy who I truly hated for the beginning of his career, but then just won me over with nonstop devotion to the business and churning out incredible match after incredible match. You've got three of the greatest in-ring performers ever, three of the biggest icons in wrestling. Like, how do you fuck that up? You don't. It's a five-star match. It's awesome.
Yeah, the match is dope. The one time they did give Cena the title from they gave Cena the title over off of AJ at a Rumble. But that's like giving Cena a title is like the equivalent of giving Goldberg the title going into Mania season. Like, you know what I mean? So here's
how I feel about Goldberg.
Actually, fun fact about that. Just a fun fact. If you remember, this was WrestleMania 33 going into 33, which I know you don't remember, but Cena took the title off of AJ, and then the next pay-per-view was Elimination Chamber, and Bray Wyatt won the title at Elimination Chamber, setting up for a match with Orton, I believe.
Wow.
Was that the same? Yeah, so like they jumped that title around like twice right before Mania. Anyway.
Well, you know, man, they don't know what they're doing. They're going week to week on this thing. They have no plan. They're just flying blind.
But I'm saying, so also, you had Sasha versus Ronda at, I'm telling you, Rumble title matches, I remember. Sasha, right? And then obviously Sasha wasn't going to take the title off Ronda Rousey going into WrestleMania 35.
Of course.
Right? So that, then you had Asuka versus Becky at Royal Rumble, and then Asuka was I guess they could have gave it to Becky, but then what they did was Asuka kept the title, and then Becky joined the Royal Rumble, which was awesome. I was there, which was dope.
Did Becky win?
Becky won, and Seth won, right? And they both won the title at Mania.
That's probably, were they dating at the time, or did they fuck that night in celebration?
I mean, I don't know if they were dating at the time.
I don't know if the timeline is. I don't know the exact timeline. I don't think they were dating at the time. I bet they both won the Rumble, fucked, in celebration.
Yeah.
Then sort of had like a secret relationship. Then both won the title at Mania, and then fucked Raw.
Yeah, your timeline's way off.
On Raw the next day.
they were dating already by that time.
Yeah, by Mania, but by Rumble, they
were not. Anywho's, so
anyway, but
I'm asking your opinion on Goldberg.
Rumble titles doesn't often change, and this year is probably no different. I doubt that because Adam Pearce is going to beat Roman Reigns. That's probably not happening. And then Goldberg and Drew, I think.
Well, now you have more viable winners in the actual Rumble.
Right, which is fantastic. But Goldberg, who I love. I think he's great. I know what he is. He's not one of the best wrestlers of all time. No. He's not like this, you know, legendary performer. But I like that they kind of look in the same way. I didn't like that Brock beat Taker and ended the streak. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But it just is what it is, and you have to accept it and be like, yo, this happened. This happens. This is part of the mythology now. This is what's up.
Right.
Right. I don't love that Goldberg took the title off Brock Lesnar and took the title off The Fiend. Like, I don't love that these things happen, but I can now accept that they happen, and I can appreciate them for like, hey, that's kind of cool. Like, it's kind of cool that Lesnar beat Taker and ended the streak. That's kind of cool in its own way.
Right.
So the character of like Twilight Years Goldberg still having enough juice in the tank to still spear out one more champion and like take anyone by surprise. At any moment, this guy could hit you with as much Goldberg as he could muster, and that might be enough to put you out. Right. I like that that's a card in the deck of WWE. I enjoy it. I don't think it's the best thing ever, but there's way worse shit than that, man. That's not a problem for me. That could be exciting. That could be fun to watch. And I think that they're going to play that card right now and have him not be able to beat Drew. I think he's going to come to hit Drew with all that Goldberg he's got, and for the first time since he's returned, it not be enough to take the belt off someone. Because Drew's that guy. Drew's that guy that they're putting all the power behind. They're letting him beat Lesnar clean. They're letting him be like the guy that is the guy. And well, they should, right? Because he's jacked out of his mind.
Right.
And he loves the business, and he's a great, he could deliver great matches. He's awesome. So I think this is finally the guy who Lesnar won't be able to just, who Goldberg won't be able to just knock out with a quick flash of old Goldberg. And I think that's kind of cool. I like that it's been set up over years and years that this guy could take out a champion and that he's not going to be able to do it to Drew. That's cool to me.
But do you think Drew will beat Goldberg?
I do.
Or do you think Brock just shows up?
Well,
my prediction is that Brock shows up, and then there's a chance they'd go for a triple threat of those three at Mania.
I'm going to say that I think there's a really high likelihood that Brock shows up and gets into trouble, but do you think Brock shows up and the belt goes off Drew?
No. Drew's going into Mania as the champ, and Drew's walking out of Mania as the champ.
I don't mind a Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg,
triple threat,
Drew McIntyre, triple threat. I don't mind that at all. I don't.
Yeah.
A lot of beef in that threat, man. That's
a lot of beef.
Triple beefy burrito right there.
There's a lot of beef out here.
Oof. I'm hungry. Now I'm hungry all of a sudden.
I would adore. The thing is, but I noticed that most people I talk to, don't like that Goldberg is around.
Look, here's what's up. People are always going to dislike guys who are quote-unquote stealing a spot. Here's the thing. No one is taking the spot. No one could be get what Goldberg's getting. There's not like a whole booking and a whole month of thing. No, Goldberg is like, only Goldberg is allowed to do this. He's a guy who could just show up, be the number one contender for a month or two and put some asses in seats. Like, he's not taking that opportunity away from someone.
And he passes the Wadowski test. I mean, it's simple as that.
He absolutely passes the casual fan test.
Like, and anyone hears Goldberg's wrestling, like, they're kind of like, that's cool. My biggest beef with Goldberg is so small.
What's that?
I fucking hate the diapers he wears, like the diaper trunks, the white rim. It looks so bad to me.
Well, is he still doing like a boy short type of situation?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I love boy shorts on me personally. Like, I like the way they look. They just fit me nice.
I really wasn't asking that.
I like a good boy short look on me, right? I think it looks great.
Okay.
For me, for my body type, when I'm at the beach. But when I think of Bill Goldberg, I think of classic Goldberg.
Sammy Guevara.
I'm not thinking of Sammy Guevara.
I can't control that. That just happens.
I think of classic black undies. I think of like the straight up bikini bottom, black on black, right? That's Goldberg. That's the appeal of Goldberg.
If you watch Goldberg, like Primo Goldberg, and by the way, every single person has told me that the Streak special on the WWE Network is amazing. There's like a great
Goldberg streak.
There's a Goldberg the Streak special.
Dude, let me tell you something. I will absolutely watch that because we're going to be agreeing 100%. But that guy at the pinnacle of his WWE championship run, from like being undefeated, from then becoming the US champ, then becoming the heavyweight champ, it's all very cool.
And he still looks awesome though.
He looks great.
Yeah.
But he looked like,
oh my God. I just remembered that Taker match though.
Yeah, that's not a good match.
Wait, I just remembered that Saudi Arabia Taker.
He's not
a good match. It's maybe the worst match of all time.
Yeah, look, it's really bad. But that's the thing. Goldberg is not AJ Styles. Okay, Goldberg is not Rey Mysterio or Eddie Guerrero. All right, Goldberg can do what Goldberg does.
Yeah.
And what he does,
those guys are not him either.
100%.
Right? Like, you know, like there's something to this say
guy,
there.
Look, this guy, Goldberg, you're better off comparing Goldberg to Brock Lesnar. Okay? Because Goldberg in his prime is a similar mystique to Lesnar. We're talking about, I've said this metaphor countless times to you on pod, off pod. It's like when you go on safari to Africa and you're trying to find like a white Bengal tiger. Look, I know that white Bengal tigers are not native to Africa. They're in India and Russia and stuff like that. But we are looking for the white Bengal tiger. Right. And, oh, maybe you'll see it. Maybe you won't. Maybe he'll show up at Raw. I don't know. But then when he come, oh, look at that in the distance. Oh, my God. What? Look over there.
Yeah.
And you see the tiger coming around the mountain in the distance on the Serengeti plain. You just go, wow. Wow. That's why I'm here. That's the experience I need. I'm humbled. I'm in awe. It's breathtaking. It's beautiful. It's nature's beauty. That's what it's like seeing Brock Lesnar show up. That's what it's like seeing Goldberg show up sometimes, especially in the WCW Primo, in the WCW Prime.
Right.
That's honestly, on some level, what it's like seeing Taker show up. It's this magic, jaw-dropping moment of like, this guy is it, man. This guy's got it. And guys like Eddie are amazing, but they're not this.
Yeah.
This is a special thing. So I don't mind Goldberg being a subpar wrestler and maybe being the benefactor of some really great booking, because that really great booking created a really, really great moment in pro wrestling. It created something that we can all talk about forever that is truly awesome. Like, his streak is fucking awesome.
So I just want to jump quick here, because you're like, okay.
What looks better to you than Bill Goldberg, black undies, big gold belt around his fucking waist,
nothing,
breathing in the smoke,
nothing,
from his own fireworks?
There are very few things, but what I'm saying is that's the beauty of Drew McIntyre, who actually, in terms of just when you look at him, holds up. Like, when he's wearing the fucking kilt and he's got the sword, it's like full on, like, yo, this guy's a locked in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's at the current moment definitely at least a half step down from Taker, Lesnar, Goldberg, as far as like jaw dropping, just whoa, this guy.
And also just like finding
it. But he's up there. But he's up there.
Yeah.
He's definitely up there. He definitely has that more than probably any other quote unquote active wrestler.
Well, here's my argument. I just want to go one step further.
Yeah.
Is that I think Drew has found it more than Roman. But what I mean is that I think what Roman's doing is cooler and better. In terms of storytelling, like, Roman looks cooler, but Roman's still a guy coming out in like joggers and his merch, and you're like, but like Drew is like Drew. What Drew is doing is like what makes you a legend, like, which is like,
I agree, right? Well, or a specific type of legend, right? It makes you one of those.
But
guys.
Like, so like, for example, AJ Styles, right? Like. Yeah. Dude, AJ's look is fucking phenomenal and iconic, locked in. Like, I don't need him to change anything. That's my beef with what they're doing with AJ right now, which is like, it's like, he's like kind of like funny AJ, and it's like he's trying to be like this weasel, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't need any of that. I just need phenomenal. Just come out, go like this, like, just head down, flick the thing up, have awesome match. Like, that's all I want from AJ. And, like, that's a privilege to be at that level where I don't want anything else from you. And I almost feel similar. And that's, like, where I think Drew is a little bit of, like, a kind of a classic throwback talent of just, like, this guy's just the champ, man. Like, that's it. He's just the champ. And what I'd say is this – but I just want to say the last point is that, like, actually, I'll make this point next. Go. Finish.
And I just have there's a sneaking fear and suspicion, though, that part of my criteria for what makes someone like that epic is that they have to be fucking huge. I don't want that to be true, but like, I look at the list, it's Lesnar, Goldberg, Taker. Those guys are enormous.
And yeah, but Drew, I just talked about AJ.
Yeah, but he's not
tiny.
I'm just, look, let me tell you something. The moment I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It ain't AJ. It's AJ and Jericho are like a 4 out of 5 on this scale.
Right.
And they could be tiny and be like, it's like, yo, this is awesome. This guy shows up and you're like, yeah, baby. Now I'm ready to watch some wrestling. Like, this works. Right. But to be that 5 out of 5, that 5-star, that like literally I get goosebumps. I get R.L. Stein in the vagina when I see – Lesnar, Primo Lesnar walk out, when I see Goldberg WCW entrance, or when I see a full Druid Taker thing.
I become like, a kid instantly. The second Goldberg comes out, I become, and like, is breathing, if I see a clip of him breathing in the smoke and going like bam, bam, like with the, and the belt fits him perfectly.
Oh my God. That belt was designed for this guy's body. No one else can pull this belt up. It's too big. It's too big for any mortal man.
So
it's like
the thing.
Mjolnir.
Here's the thing. See, the thing is this. We'll have that drop going forward. See, the thing is this.
We'll have that drop tomorrow.
Can I stay at your place? If you need anything, and I mean anything at all, I'm your guy. You come to me.
Can I stay at your place?
See, the thing is this. All right, but you see, I got a roommate, old Jack. You know, I live down at the Y. All right, so
as you know,
this again, this bit, this fucking repeating this has distracted me totally again. Okay, that is like an iconic look. Okay, I can't help, but I can't. There's two layers of it, right? Like, so Roman Reigns is frustrating talent to me because now I believe in him as a top-tier WWE guy. I'm absolutely fully sold on Roman Reigns. I will not make my proclamation in being one of my guys till Monday night after at WrestleMania 37. You know what I mean? I need a mania. I've been burned on too many manias for Roman Reigns. I need a mania. Sure. Okay? Yeah. I'm going to make this guy one of my guys on a mania he didn't show up to for good reason, but he didn't show up to. You know what I mean? Right. I'm not going
to
have
look,
it.
I feel the same way about Adam Pearce. I got to see him deliver on mania fully, mate, but I was willing to go one of my guys.
Well, he could be mania bound. All he has to do is take the title off of Roman Reigns. Yeah?
If he goes into WrestleMania as the Universal Champion, I would love it.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that – Well, this is a side note, but the Universal Champion thing, it's been a title for like 5 years at this point, and it's like, it doesn't work or catch on at all. Like,
well, I will say making it blue is a huge upgrade. It looks way better.
No, it looks blue. I even liked the red one. I'm talking about, I know people hated it.
I was in the building when they debuted that red title.
You were booing it?
I was booing as loud as I could. I was like, this thing looks like dog shit. What is wrong with you guys?
Well, I actually don't hate the red title. I know people do. I hated it at first, and then it grew on me, you know? And so what I'm saying is the thing with Roman Reigns is a talent that's fully locked in for me. Like, the gimmick is there. He can – you do this gimmick for his whole career, you know?
Yes.
Right? And it's great, and I love it. It's frustrating to see him operating at a 4 level when he should be a 5. Like, it's frustrating to see him think, like, yo, I'm going to come out and just, like, some cool Jordans, switch it up every time. And you're like, yo, man, lock in the look. And it's like, not like Cena, right, wore jean shorts. He wore jean shorts until I had no choice but to say I love the jean shorts. Like,
well, Cena's a rare case of that, like, nothing he did was working for me kind of ever.
Yeah.
Until
he became the best.
And then I was like, but this guy's the best. He's not doing this for me. He's literally doing this for children. And guess what? He's inspiring the fuck out of them. And I have to respect this guy for he's just doing his thing and it's not working for me. But like the existence of Cena is far bigger than my opinion of Cena. So I just got to learn to love it. You know, that was it.
Totally. But I'm saying, so like Reigns, it's like when he wore the vest, that didn't work because it's too much cover up. You know what I mean? But like, man, if he starts rocking what is the thing where you'll just be like, wow, it's not what he's doing now. He's got to lose the Omni
Pack. I honestly think.
Is it the fucking, it's two things. He has two options. He's got the fucking straight up Fatus, right? Like the Simone Capris, right?
Right.
If he rocks those, you'd be like, I mean, I can't argue with that. Like that is locked in. That's right. That or just The Rock, just undies, boots. You're like, that's
not boots. He wouldn't look good in boots. But the answer for Roman Reigns has always been,
you want a guy that size to wear kick pads?
What?
You want a guy that size to rock like kick pads?
No. Boots is fine. I just mean, he doesn't need the Rock boots, like the calf showers.
No, not the calf showers. I just mean like Orton boots.
I want him in whatever.
The Orton boots are snake print. Do you notice that?
It was like almost like a mid-top boot, not a very pronounced boot.
Right.
Roman Reigns, the answer has always been, the best Roman Reigns is this guy just comes out like Mike Tyson in his prime with very little accoutrement. Just black bikini, let's go. Let's go to work. That's what we want out of this guy. But here's the thing. You're coming at me with a lot of Roman's almost here and he's almost this and it's kind of not working because of that. I'm out on this opinion, bro. Here's the thing. I don't forget the years I suffered through absolute terrible Roman Reigns iterations
right.
of the guy, the big dog, here. And the Taker.
I think he's still the big dog, by the way.
I know, but I'm saying when that was the gimmick and him trying to be funny and the writing the stones or the grapefruits or whatever the fuck he called Vince McMahon's nuts. And I remember just 4 or 5 headlining manias where he just sucked and I hated everything he was doing and he was trying to be
funny.
And
it literally cost us thousands of dollars to go watch him main event.
Right. I have been so out on everything this guy's been doing for so long that where he's at right now, I've got zero complaints. I've got zero tweaks. I've got no notes. You just keep doing what you're doing, man, because I'll take it.
Okay? Yeah, but that sounds like you're settling, bro.
Not settling, because this is pretty awesome.
No, it is.
Where he's
it is
at
great.
Is pretty awesome. Okay.
I'm not talking about any tweaks to Roman except the gear. That's
okay.
it.
But I'm saying what we're talking about here is he used to wear a vest like an idiot. And now he doesn't wear that. I'm good. Hey, whatever you got going on, there's no vest. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Right.
Because we're not talking about he did a year with an outfit I didn't like. This guy's entire wrestling career, persona, gimmick, and highlight reel of headlining WrestleMania after WrestleMania is wearing a faux bulletproof vest, which A, makes no sense, B, shouldn't be kayfabe legal because it protects you from impact, and C, looks like shit. So that being gone, I'm a happy man. He can wear capris. He can wear Jordans. I don't care.
Okay.
I love it.
I'm going to do a slight pivot on this topic and just say to you that I'm curious where you stand on gear in general. I notice a growing amount of people in the Facebook group and stuff, which, by the way, I just wanted to point out a small thing. I'll mention this on the actual main episode this week, but is that I've officially deemed the Facebook group the Cowmunity. It's officially called the Cowmunity. So it's like join the Cowmunity. So if I call it in the future the Cowmunity, it might be the Cowmunity. I might be like, the Comedians Wrestling Facebook group. I'll probably say that just because it's fun, but just to say what the Cowmunity means, okay?
Okay.
So, but I notice an increasing amount of people who are like, I don't get your obsession with gear and undies. Like, I think there's some people, they watch wrestling and they're like, they don't care at all what they're wearing in ring. And I just like cannot relate to that at all. Cause I'm like, why, then you are probably just a sports guy or something. Because like, how could you not get caught up in the visuals on this soap opera? This like the pageantry. Right. It's like, I think 80% of it is pageantry. And as wrestling gets better and better in terms of work rate, that probably goes lower, 70, 60, but it's never going below 60 for me. Like, never. It's never going 50-50 even. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is what separates.
And by the way, in that 60, when I talk about pageantry, I'm talking about, like, promo, acting, like, all that. I'm talking about the full package of anything, the E in WWE. You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is why you have a podcast and people listen to it. And other people don't have a podcast.
Right.
Because everyone likes to evaluate the stuff about wrestling that they care about. We evaluate every single inch of this thing, okay? We're talking about ring attire. We're talking about entrance attire. We're talking about entrance pyro. We're talking about theme music. We're talking about Jimmy Johnston being the man. We're talking about history of Adam Pearce. Like, we love this thing so much that we have no choice. Because you and me are thorough guys, okay? We dip in, man. We dive deep.
See this doctor. He's thorough.
Right. Yeah. But, like, I'm not in here to be like, oh, that was a good match, man. I'm looking at every move, every spot, every nuance. How did he look in between moves? How does he carry himself? What's his swagger? What's his promo? What's his catchphrase? I'm taking this whole thing apart. I'm a student of the game. That's why I'm so good at what I do as the champion, because I'm studying every inch of this, as are you. You're a very good champion. You're the third best champion of all time in cow history. So that's what's so interesting to us is all of it. I want all of it. Some people only care about this factor or that factor.
Like,
some
people shit that's so fucking – like, when it comes to Goldberg, fine. You could say he's old and he's in the way. Like, there's a valid argument there. But you cannot start saying, like, oh, Goldberg, he cracked open his head again. You're like, yeah, because he's the fucking man. Because he gets, like, yo – more than the match, him doing this, just walking to the ring with security. It's, I don't give a fuck what happens in a Goldberg match. I just want to see him coming out there, knock on the fucking door. See, Goldberg, are you there? And I don't know why. Cody seems to be the only wrestler picking up on any of this shit. You know what I mean? He seems to be the only.
Cody gets it, man.
He's
Cody
the only guy who gets it, right? Who understands. Well,
but that's the thing. There's so
There's some guys. A lot of the AEW guys.
There's so much.
You don't
going
like Moxley, but I think Moxley nails a lot of shit.
No, look, Moxley's definitely the most improved player. I mean, he's doing fine. He's not one of my guys.
Moxley would be one of my guys if I didn't talk so much shit about him to this point. About Dean Ambrose. I fucking hated Dean Ambrose. Can I say John Moxley's one of my guys, but not Dean Ambrose?
You can say that, but John Moxley with no Ambrose is still not one of my guys. He's still jeans Moxley. He's still wearing jeans to the ring, baby. Like, it ain't working all the way for me. To me, he's always just going to be like, he just took a bunch of Attitude Era shit, put it in a blender, and was like, all right, that's my thing. It's not enough for me.
Oh, man. I find him to be very authentically himself. Like,
he is authentically
Renee
himself.
Renee talks about him, and it's like, he is like kind of like a fucking weird dude. Like, you know?
He is authentically
like
himself.
Like a loner, yeah.
But his self is boring to me. It's not something that I haven't seen before. Cody, on the other hand, is giving me everything. He's thinking of every single angle just like I am. He's doing the entrance. He's doing the music, the song lyrics. He's cultivated his own unique style of non-wrestling on-screen appearance gear of three-piece suits and peacoat trench coats. The guy is to the T. He understands it all.
Did you see this, by the way? The Go Big show on TNT? No. I didn't see it either.
With Cody.
But you know what it is, that Cody show that it's like Snoop, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, it's like America. It's called America's Don't Got Talent.
It's the biggest TNT debut of a show they've ever had.
Wow.
Or like in like 15, 20 years, like since WCW.
I love it.
Stuff. Like it was big. Like TNT, AEW is made TNT a channel. Like that, dude, the NBA, TNT is like one of the only channels. Considering like Comedy Central seems like it's dying, like all these network cable channels are like dying, and TNT is the only one that is changing with the times. Like they have some life.
Changing with the times, that means getting AEW. It's like, look, TNT is just ready to adapt, man.
No, because they're giving AEW another live show.
Great.
They're blending. Great. They're making like a universe, like the TNT universe. Like they have a TNT title, and then they got Shaq in there. They got Snoop Dogg was on AEW this week and did a fucking a splash. He did the Snoop splash. He went to the top rope. You're like, it's kind of like people get mad about, oh, like when celebrities come into WWE, but you're like, oh, is this the TNT universe? It's kind of cool, I think.
It's a winning recipe.
Right.
You can't argue with it. It needs to happen, and Cody knows it needs to happen. The guy might be the greatest EVP in all of wrestling history.
So anyway, so I guess what I'm saying is like, I'm starting to like just be like, I have this vision in my head of Shawn Michaels entering with mini mirrors all over him, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I see, like, then I was bringing this up on the bonus episode this week. Then you see Johnny Gargano and Triple H, who's a great television producer, a great wrestling producer, a great talent, Triple H. Like, whatever. Yep. Like, all things aside. As a matter of fact, I'll even say that, like, a lot of people who criticize Triple H also will be like, but he's also, like, awesome, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But so the thing about Triple H is that I'll say is that, like, he gives Gargano on NXT this week a full procession of cars. Like 10 white SUVs with green blinking lights. Like, it's awesome. It's like, hey, we're coming to think that. And then he's just wearing like a white blazer and skinny jeans. And you're like, fucking Christ, man. If I was a, can you imagine, what would you wear? They're like, yo, Shebs, you're coming in and you're going to, you're coming
yo,
in, you're entering in these vans, in SUVs. What are you rocking?
I got you, bro.
What?
Nothing. And a fur coat and a floor length fur coat. Totally nude. They're gonna have to censor my dick out. They're gonna have to pixelate my dick, and I'm floor length mink beige.
But whatever. So Listen, you're saying it's the fucking go big show. Like,
yeah. Well, for me, it's more of like the go medium, but yeah.
Another wrestler. Yeah, but no, I got it. I was distracted by my own.
By the, just the thought of my penis.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the visual. Now, I actually, now I'm distracted by a picture of you that I know I have somewhere.
Well, it stops right there.
Hey, it picks up already. Oh, man.
Okay. We lived together for very long time.
Oh, you just knocked the COVID out of me again.
Cheers up. That's all I ever wanted to do, man. I just come to knock that COVID
right out.
I don't want to talk about that.
Anyway, so I guess that's what I'm saying is that, like, a lot of these wrestlers, it's a lot of, like, I'm just like, can we do one of two things? Can wrestlers start being ridiculous again? Can these guys stop being like, I'm not saying you got to be professional. Can we just start being, like, ridiculous? Like, a couple of guys I love what they're up to. Obviously biased, but, like, Ziggler and Bobby Roode. Couple, just, like, two guys who are, like, rocking pink, calling themselves the Dirty Dogs. Like,
yeah, the Dirty Dogs.
Beautiful.
It's incredible.
It's beautiful. Like,
I will say this. Jericho always remained ridiculous. He's always been ridiculous.
Exactly.
Every second you see this guy, it's absurd and it's amazing.
Yeah, can we just start having fun with wrestling? Like, can we start having more fun? Now, a lot of it is fun, but it's like, it's kind of like, you know what rubs me the wrong way now? Like, I don't know. I just kind of turned on him a little bit, even though he is definitely one of my guys. Amazing wrestler, great on the mic. It's Kevin Owens. I've kind of turned on him a little bit. Like, he comes on the screen and I'm just a little bit like, I don't know what the feeling is, but I'm like, can you go a little further? Like, I think
what you're, is it? Well, you tell first me. Of all, I will say, not too long ago, like maybe a month or two ago,
right?
Maybe 6 weeks. You were like, you got to see Kevin Owens on NXT. It was incredible.
I know.
Like when he did commentary,
he was amazing there. He is amazing. There's just something about him where I'm like, can you go even more nuts?
Because I think he suffers from a little, sometimes it's a thin rope to walk, because when he did it in NXT, it really worked. But when he does it on WWE, sometimes it doesn't. He has a little problem with ironic detachment sometimes, where he's like kind of making fun of what's
going
on.
It's not a little, it's big. He goes for like jokes that sell out the other performer.
Right. And so that's not always great.
I hate that.
But sometimes it's very great. And so what I'm going to recommend is a little bit different. I think because he does the ironic detachment, it's tough to then get into serious mode. Like, there's like, no, now I'm going to mess you up more mode. Right?
Right.
And I think
he used to, like, have almost a Orton-ish thing. I also think his stunner is so bad, it's distracting.
Right. I think also, the stunner's
he used to go into
hurting.
That zone. Remember?
But here's the thing.
Right.
It's because he is just one of those guys that no matter what happens, he's just going to make more sense as a heel.
Yeah,
he just makes more sense as a heel. What?
He's not. I know what you're saying. You're saying he's not a baby face. It's just
right. So when he's like being funny and you can still laugh because he's like a gray, and then he wants to flip to being an asshole, but he needs to really be a heel to make you then feel like he's really being a threat and an asshole. And if that flip is still like on the right side of the law or being like a good guy who's just like, and I'm tough too, it doesn't. You can't do both. It's very hard to be ironically detached and then try to be tough if you're still in a good guy zone. If you could do it as a bad guy, you got a little bit more juice in the tank.
But I understand Vince wanting to try Kevin as a heel because he kind of looks like everyman.
As a face, you mean?
Oh, as a baby face, yeah. As a face, you can imagine Vince being like, yo, he's like kind of like Stone Cold. Like, we give him the stunner, and like he's an everyman, he's a father, and like he's doing that. But then there's just part of me that's just like, yo, these other guys would mess you up, bro. You are, like, you know what I mean? You need to be hitting people with weapons. And then when you do that, it gets a little heel, you know?
Yeah,
and then you want to see him go to that place where he's like, you'll never be me. You look like, you know?
Right. Well, look, I'll tell you what.
But, like, most guys that are nailing it, Damian Priest, his gear's always fire. The guy looks like a pro wrestler, you know?
I mean, can we just all just give me some credit here? That, like, the minute I saw this guy, I'm like, Damian Priest, one of my guys, get on board.
Correct. I'm willing to give you that. I'm full. As much as I dislike agreeing with you, I totally agree. I feel like you said that he's you were feeling him, and then I started eyeing him up closer because you said that. I'll give you that.
Right. And then you look at him, you go like, yo,
just
this
like
guy's
I did with you, I feel like with Edge, I did that for you.
Yeah, you did that for me with Edge because we both grew up and Edge was just like a skinny little freak show. I'm like, what? Who is
you think you know me?
And I started being like, yo, I think Edge is not just really, like, not just working. Like, I think Edge is like killing it. Like, he's
right. And then I was like, Edge?
Yeah. You're like, yeah. The camera used to pan to find him, and he'd be wearing bug eye glasses. Like,
yeah, that guy.
So bad. I didn't even like Edge when they were Edge and Christian. Like, the matches were entertaining, but I never was like, you know?
No, like, as the Brood, it was weird. I mean, they were always weird. But no, Edge became incredible. He really found a second wind when he became the Radar Superstar. I mean, he's awesome. We all love Edge. But let's talk.
We all love Edge, don't we, folks? We love Edge.
We all love him. But let's talk about Damian Priest real quick. Or in my mind's eye.
Lance Archer.
Punishment Martinez. I got to get this guy back to Punishment Martinez. It's such an awesome name.
Well, it's hilarious because he comes out. He enters and he comes out and he's like looking awesome. He's like, to me, he's like, I put him in that Orton. Like, he's like a hot dude zone. Like, but he's it's a guy who I know women are not feeling. But
right.
God, but we are like, that's what attractive men look like.
We're like, and women man, are if like, I could look what like, is if wrong I could, with you? If I could look like that guy, it'd be easy street, man. Women would be going nuts for me.
That's what but we that's think, just not right? True. Like, that's what, yeah. It's not true at all. It's like, there's a couple guys like that. It's like, Batista is like, I'm like, yo, I'll kill the look like Batista.
I don't for a minute think any woman is trying to have sex with Batista.
No, but I'm trying to have sex with Batista.
Orton, McIntyre. I'm like, these are guys. Like, of course. Women are like, got to be going crazy. And it's like, no, I'm afraid of those men.
So this is like Damian Priest, right? So he comes, his music hits. His music's pretty good. Anyway, so he comes out and he shoots a bow and arrow like into the screen. It says Damian Priest. And you're like, all right, that's fucking weird. And then
they're like, all right, bro, fine, I guess.
And he's wearing a fucking like basically a puka shell necklace, but it has arrows on it. And you're like,
sure.
All right, everything else looks cool, but. All right, that and then like he shoots a bow and arrow, and then they go from New York City. He's billed from New York City, but he's an archer. He cuts his promos on a rooftop. He drives a fucking BMW sports car.
Like, none of it adds up. That's the thing. I said you got to give me 10 minutes with this guy with the book. Because I would go, all right, right off the bat, right back to Punishment Martinez. We're getting rid of the archery.
Such a better name.
We're going right back to, and we're making you like a New York guy.
Wait, Chips, because this is set up your conversation here. It is. I've been cruising the dirt sheets. Pandemic. I've gotten a lot more dirt sheety. Obviously, like
you got more time on your hands.
Yeah. So I'm cruising the sheets. Damian Priest apparently lost his match to Karrion Kross and is being called up.
Love it.
To wrestle. Fuck. I took a picture of it. I think I sent it to you. He was actually was already supposed to be there. And then they changed the booking. Hold on, I have a picture of this. Here it is.
I don't think you sent
one. After being he was removed from the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns storyline, Damian Priest is now being called up to Monday Night Raw. So they were gonna inject him into the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns. That's what she'd say.
Nuts.
Yeah.
That is a
come on. Vince sees this guy and is like, yo, I can work with that.
He's like, oh yeah, baby, give me some of that.
Yeah.
I'll take 10 more of that guy.
So he's going to come up. Let's just think about this, okay? Damian Priest, he's coming up, and Vince is finally giving – because Vince is not watching NXT, just like everyone else. All right, and then he's like – Vince is going to be like, all right, cool. This guy looks great. He's going to be like, Hunter, what's his deal? Who is this guy? And he's like, all right, here's what he is. I'm really excited about this guy.
Really been – yeah, Vince, we've been working on this guy. And here's what he is.
All right, great. All right, so what is what's his name? This guy? He's got to be, I don't know, something, maybe like the Punisher or something.
Punish me, yeah.
What are you calling him?
All right, Vince, this is a guy. We're calling him Damian Priest.
All right, all right, Damian Priest, kind of, I guess. He's like, I don't know, biblical? Is he like he's a religious guy?
No, he likes to shoot arrows at the Titantron.
Wait, what? Oh, okay, he shoots arrows at the Titantron. Where is he from, this guy?
New York City.
Okay, so
it's a city you idolize.
If you didn't marry my fucking daughter, none of this makes any fucking sense. In fact, the last guy you sent me is a big black guy who has all his names named after anime.
I don't even know what anime
he's
is.
He's got an Asian name. It's a black guy with an Asian name.
What is he, Tiger Woods? The fuck is going on here?
Oh, man. So what do you think Vince does when he actually gets him? Do you think he calls him Priest or Damien? I mean, that's the first question.
I think they're going to call him Damien, which is a mistake. They should go with Priest.
Priest is kind of cool, but doesn't fit what he is either.
I really, 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 really hope that they just start calling him Punishment Martinez again.
Punishment Martinez is such a good name.
It's one of the best names in all of wrestling. And my other hope is that they cut the bullshit and give him his indie finisher back, which he uses as a signature, the South of Heaven Chokeslam, which is a sit-out chokeslam. That is a fire move that no one does that looks incredible for a big guy.
Into a sit-down? It's kind of like a double-handed
choke. It's a one-handed choke slam, but then when he choke slams you, he jumps. He jumps, so he lands on his back or his ass. He lands on his butt or his back.
And you land on your face?
You land on your back. He picks you up for a choke slam.
I can't even picture that.
He picks you up like a choke slam for Kane.
Yeah.
But when he slams you down, he takes a little jump. He just jumps in the air, so he lands on his butt sitting.
Right.
And you get choke slammed. Okay. He does it. He does the move. He just doesn't use it as a finisher.
Okay, so
I think Phil Pesapane is a big South of Heaven chokeslam fan, if I recall.
It sounds cool. I like that.
Dude, he does the move. Are you not watching? See, this is why I'm watching so close.
Wait, I definitely have seen it. So he chokes you, and then he falls back, and you fall forward.
Yeah, he takes a little jump, so he's falling.
You both fall on your back. Right?
Yeah, but or sometimes he's kind of like just sitting on his butt instead of running the full back.
Yeah. So he gave Karrion Kross a razor's edge on Wednesday.
Yeah, he also gives the razor's edge. Yeah. Look, man, I saw this guy in one match do that chokeslam, the razor's edge, a couple big boots. I was like, this guy has a moveset that is a top five moveset in active duty right now. This guy's moves are off the charts. He looks great in ring. He moves well. He carries himself well. He's 7 feet tall. I'm like, this guy has got something.
Which is not something that can be taught.
You cannot teach that.
So with Damian Priest comes up, Vince, I am predicting that Vince fixes this guy. I think he's already wanted to inject him into the main event, which means he understands
that's
this guy's
so
pretty interesting.
Crazy.
But the thing about Damian Priest is they got to figure out he doesn't have to cut a great promo. He has a great voice. They just have to write for him correctly. Like he's got to use that beautiful bass voice and just be surrounded by babes. That's all he needs. When he won the North American title and he was in the hot tub with babes, Triple H.
It was great.
It was fucking awesome. Just have this guy do a less extreme version of just like 80s rocker, but he doesn't have to be 80s at all. I just mean like surrounded by babes. Busty babes, and that's all. Like,
preferably in a hot tub,
and not the women wrestlers.
Right.
I don't need him to be with they're wrestlers. I'm talking about some local talent. You know what I mean?
Look, when Godfather used to go town to town and do the most Attitude Era degrading shit ever, where they just hire a bunch of aspiring models.
You know what I mean?
What?
Yeah, I'm saying nothing he needs to do needs to be degrading,
Right, but I'm saying they would hire some, like, print models in town, people looking just for some TV money, and he would call them hookers. He'd be like, look, I'm here with all my prostitutes.
It was the hoe train.
It was the hoe train. Yeah. We don't need to do that, but we could call those same phone numbers. You know, we could still get that type of person.
Right.
You know, you go to Pittsburgh. Okay, what are all the girls in Pittsburgh who are trying to break into modeling or on, you know, whatever, small acting gigs, commercial auditions. Let's get them and just put on a cocktail dress and hang out with Damian Priest.
Yeah, just head to the pit, or whatever it's called, whatever the local strip club is. But I'm just saying, this guy, let him be a fucking cool New York City guy. Yeah, that's it. That's it. It's done. That's what he is, really. He drives a Dodge Charger, but he shoots bow and arrows. It's like the fucking stupidest thing that they're doing in NXT. Anyway.
We're a little all over the place
here. Yeah. Anyway.
I mean him, not you. I just mean, like, you know, him.
Well, I think Triple H, you can't blame him. You have this, like, when you're the creator of something and he's like, yo, this guy, he shoots an arrow at the screen. Like, the visual of that is very cool, you know?
Yeah, it looks
and,
look, like, it's cool. It's just we don't need it.
It's time to kill your darlings, though, you know?
Right.
But anyway, so I think that's what's going on. But so I want to say this.
I bet he likes, like, that he did a whole character shift for WWE. He's like, yo, this is my thing. Like, he put together a nice little character here. I just prefer everything to be the same except he's Punishment Martinez and he does the South of Heaven as his finisher.
Right. All right. Anyway, let's get out of here because I got to pee. But I wanted to say Keith Lee main evented with Drew McIntyre on Raw this week. I talked about it on the episode, but I didn't talk about it with you. But Keith Lee, I just think, is just – he also had a couple moments where he was like looking like – he was really selling like, yo, this is a big night for me. I got a title shot. And then he did a Spanish Fly to Drew McIntyre, and I was
Keith
Lee is fucking good. Keith Lee is fucking good.
Look, Keith Lee is a really good in-ring wrestler. He can do some really acrobatic shit for a huge guy. As you know, being able to do really acrobatic shit does not a great wrestler make, Ricochet. Okay? Some guys can do... There you have it. I rest my case. That is just but one element to make a truly great wrestler. Now, I'm all for throwing Keith Lee in cool matches, put him in Money in the Bank. I'm not saying fire the guy. I'm just saying as a pro wrestler, as a well-rounded talent, he is literally bottom of the barrel on every single conceivable thing that I want from wrestlers except for the actual in-ring stuff, which is very, very important. But that is not enough.
But see, the thing is this:
promos. He sounds like Uncle Phil.
I'm going.
He cannot dress.
All right.
He cannot talk.
We've been through all this. I'm just pointing this out: is that as a viewer of pro wrestling, Keith Lee, similar to like a Darby Allin, which is another guy you beef with his deal, right?
Hold on. Don't even put them in the same category. Darby, I say this is a great wrestler, and he's got a thing that I get that people like. It's a little convoluted for me, and he's not one of my guys, but I totally get why he's awesome.
He's one of my guys.
For me. Keith Lee, I think that if you say you like him, it's because you're an idiot, or you're just one of those guys who only cares about the in-ring stuff.
Okay. And which case – all I'm saying is this, and I'm not getting into the specifics. I'm just saying this. From a purely gut standpoint, okay? Keith Lee and like Darby, these are guys who, like, when I'm watching, my jaw drops a lot at moments they have. And that's fucking cool. So good for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's awesome.
All right. Anyway,
That's important. It's important.
Anyway, so when let's get out of here. Are you cool with getting out of here?
I got a 4 o'clock appointment at the beach. I got to watch the Waikiki sunset.
You're literally heading to the beach right now, right? That's not even a joke.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Dwayne The Rock Johnson original era sleeveless cutoff. That's beach gear, baby. Maybe I'll get a pedicure, take a little spa day, and then just wash it out with some salt water.
All right, so that's so you don't get COVID, right? Just wash the COVID. I got it. So. Two things is, first off, the people you're saying that, I just want to be clear for me, is that, like, you're going to be doing these episodes as the champ, Outsider's Edge.
Yeah.
It's called the Outsider's Edge.
As needed. We will have new episodes of the Outsider's Edge as needed. When something happens in the world of wrestling that you guys really probably should hear what I have to say about it.
Okay.
Right, because things happen. Maybe it's every week. We don't know. But you know stuff is happening, and you're going to want to hear what the champ has to say. Because let's be honest, I'm a content king. I drive the ratings up. I move the needle. I am the needle mover. And I'm helping the pod. So as my gift to you, Dan, my best friend for life, I'm ready to start becoming a real permanent fixture around here, a semi-permanent fixture. It's the outsider's edge coming to you whenever you need it.
All right, and I just want to say that 2 points is that to people who are, if you know, people are messaging me, posting in the community Facebook group. People are saying, Shev's your controversial figure, you know, and I want to say 2 points, which is 1 point, which is just want to be clear. One, I respect that title. That title's always been that the champ's allowed on the show. And it's a privilege to be on the show at will. It's just one of the perks of that title because the cow title really means something, and it's been an honor and privilege for me to hold it and win it. I was going to say defend it, but it's not been one of my strong points, I'll be honest.
I don't know if you ever have.
Yeah. And then I also would like to say that. So that's why I have you on the show, okay? And I also want to say that the content is undeniable. Whether you like it or not, when we go pro, when we go Brett and Sean, you know, the shit is this content I stand by. I think it's really great. And as painful it is for me to sit here and I'm able to be a pro about it, the fucking you can't deny the content. When me and Shebs go toe to toe here.
Brett and Sean is the right metaphor. We are like Brett and Sean in here. For you, you're feeling the animosity. For me, I think we're more like Hunter and Sean. I think we're DX, man. I think we're just vibing hard. But I know that you feel like it's more of a Brett and Sean thing. And I love it. Two guys who have their differences who just make magic in that ring.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for coming. Shebs, anything you want to plug out here while you're here?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'd like to plug that yap of yours. No, I'm kidding, man. We're homies. I was just going to say the one thing I want to just address is you said, you know, that the way I got this title is maybe nefarious. Like, it's not the coolest way to take a belt or something like that.
Yeah.
I ask you, and I ask all fans of pro wrestling everywhere, when you think of some of the greatest title changes of all time, one of those is – undeniably has to be the heist of the century. Is Seth Rollins cashing in the Money in the Bank in the middle of the Roman Brock match, okay? Sometimes the best thing for wrestling, the greatest content you could come up with, is a sort of heely heist. All I did was give you guys what I knew you needed. I've made great content. I'm going to continue to make great content. And maybe it wasn't some storybook, you know, babyface on babyface, Hogan against Warrior type, you know, meeting. But I think what we did is just as epic, man.
Okay.
It was the Waikiki Sneaky. It'll go down in history.
Do we have to relitigate this every time? Can we, you know?
I'm just saying it was a great moment.
For content for the
pod. I'm saying you guys could say, if you, oh, it was underhanded, oh, it was dastardly, whatever antiquated, you know, adjectives you guys use. I think it was a great moment for the pod. I think it was a great moment for the title. I think it's one of the all-time great title changes in the history of professional wrestling.
Okay. I'm glad you think that. Anyway, everybody, thank you for listening to the podcast. These episodes, I'm going to reach out to you, Shebs, off air to see, like, kind of if we can make some kind of, sounds like you don't want to make some kind of schedule for this. You want to just do it as needed.
So I mean, it's not a champion prerogative.
Right? I guess these would be listed as emergency Outsider's Edge episodes. And, all right. Our episodes will come back. Just a couple things that I'd like to plug while we're here, which is nice, is make sure to follow our YouTube channel, the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. We are really pushing to give you a nice edited show on there. And we have Jabroniak, Phil Pesapani, who's really helping us out, making these all our content more video and podcast based. It'll always be a podcast, but make sure you get both for part of the Cow 20 million D experience or whatever we're at. Probably the 9D experience is technically what we're at. So do that. Make sure Follow our socials at COW Podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Dan Black Attack. These are things you could do for free that help the show. Is subscribe and follow our content there. And then obviously if you want bonus episodes, which you should want, because I feel like our content's fire there, go to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. You get access to all every Friday morning. We do AEW NXT-centric episodes. Me and Nick Tulo do that. And then also you get access to our archives of Cow Movie Club episodes. So you listen to tons of our Movie Club episodes. And then also we do our monthly watching of pay-per-view via Zoom together, socially distanced and saved on the Cow Zoom Thunderdome, where we hang out and watch together this January 31st. We're watching the Royal Rumble together. And Shebs, as the champion, you are obviously invited to the Cow Zoom Thunderdome.
I appreciate the invite. I mean, I don't need an invite because I am the champion, but I will try to make it. It really depends, like, if I got a luau to go to. I know we're doing some pig roasts at the end of the month, so we'll see how it goes. I'm going to try to make it happen. Guys, follow me on socials also, at Shabiro, S-H-E-B-I-R-O, Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar. Give me a follow, not because it's Sierra the right Hotel, thing to do. Sierra Hotel, Echo, Bravo, India, Romeo, Oscar, Shabiro. But just because you're going to want that hot content, baby. I'm doing everything I'm doing for the pod, for the listeners, for the Jabroniacs, for Dan, just trying to help the show. So give me a follow and let's take it from there, baby.
Okay, everybody. And hey, thanks for listening to the podcast and keep watching wrestling. Kisses.